I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So this morning, I'm beginning a sermon series called Eyes Full of Light, Gratitude, Generosity, and Grace in a Universe Where Nobody Gets What They Deserve. I need my prop, and I believe, it's coming right here. You guys are awesome. Which means if you set it up and it falls over, I don't get blamed. You can just put it right on top of the chancel steps. You all have a copy of this. You're going to need it for the sermon in your bulletin. This is a freebie, by the way. My gift to you. See, nobody gets what they deserve. You didn't know you were getting a freebie, and there it is. So what I want to talk about in this series is every year in the fall, we come together and we ask you for money, right? You know I do. You know what's going to happen. And we get together and we have this sort of stewardship campaign. And you could view that as just a very kind of pragmatic process by which we have to figure out how to keep the lights on. We got to pay some salaries. We got to buy donuts with something. So everybody chip in a little bit and we'll be good. And certainly that's part of the deal. The question I have, though, is there something deeper going on in the process by which we ask each other to share what we have toward our common good? Is there a larger, deeper, more expansive, more mysterious reality that we're actually participating in when we share? I think there is. I want to make the case to you that that is so over the next 3 weeks. And so today, we're going to start by talking about that. Now, this here, and you have a copy of it so you can look at it, is a rendering of an icon from the 15th century by Andrei Rublev. It's a Russian iconographer. This is the most famous of all the Russian icons. Many of you have seen it before. I know you have. Some of you have been in class with me, and I've taught you about it and how to pray with it. It is called the Trinity. But you may notice, or if you've been in class with me, that you're like, well, I don't know. I guess it looks like the Trinity, whatever the Trinity looks like. Looks like three ladies sitting around a table. So what gives? Well, it is actually called the Trinity, but it is a depiction of an event from Genesis 18, which is when Abraham and Sarah have these three visitors come to them. They are these visitors are actually on their way to see Abraham's cousin Lot, who lives down the road in Sodom. And they stop at Abraham and Sarah's under the oaks of Mamre to rest and to be refreshed. And Abraham and Sarah go and they feed them. And after these visitors leave, they look at each other and remark, these visitors were the Lord. This was God. God visited us in these three visitors. Now, texts like that, as well as the text that we had from Jesus in the first reading that Morris read from John's Gospel, the church started to sort of witness to the fact that this one God that we serve actually has these three persons to it. And God as it is one, but also three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Rublev took this text from Genesis and says, oh, I got it. I'm going to paint a picture. And like any good iconographer, Rublev is not trying to depict historic reality, okay? He didn't sit down and close his eyes and think, what would it look like if you were a fly on the wall when the three visitors came to the oaks of... No, what he's doing is he's communicating theological truth. And this thing is loaded with it. I'm just going to show you a couple of things, okay? So you look at your picture. The first thing is you'll notice that all three figures have the same face, okay? It's because each of them are a person of the Trinity. This is meant to be God the Father. This one up here in the middle is God the Son. The one over here on the right is God the Holy Spirit. Now, each of them, they share a color. What's the color they share? Blue. In this iconography, that is the color of divinity. So all of them are God. But you'll notice that the one that is meant to be God the Father has a sort of gold overlay. And this is meant to show the kingship of this God. The one that is Jesus and the Christ has the blue, but it's wrapped over a kind of brown, reddish color. That is the color of humanity, the earth. And so we see in the Christ, in Jesus, the coming together of God and people, the reconciliation of the divine in the human, hanging out all in the same place. And so Jesus's humanity is cloaked in divinity, the blue divinity. He also has the two fingers because peace, dudes. No, because the two natures of Christ. I thank you for laughing. I don't think they would have laughed. I think I was so convincing that they would have thought. Okay, and then finally, God the Holy Spirit, you'll see, has the green. So the divinity is wrapped in this green cloak that is the color of creation, of life, of the new creation, of the generativity and growth that the Holy Spirit comes and moves in the community of God to create and make real in the earth. God is up to something in this world. God is healing it. God is putting all of it back together, and God invites us to be part of it through the Holy Spirit. You'll see that the Spirit and the Son are both looking at the Father, and you'll notice, and it's hard to see in the version I gave you, each of them has a little staff in their hand, which is meant to represent their authority. Like, that's the sign of a king. So you can see it better in the big one, but they've each got a staff. So now what's neat about this is, well, there's a lot of things that are neat about it. Each figure, each angel around the table here is sitting, and in the middle of them is a bowl of food. They are eating together. So the depiction of God as Trinity is of three persons hanging out at a dinner party together. It is a relationship. The core of who God is community. Okay? Are you with me? Now, okay, so this is the cool part, and this is the part I invite you to meditate on this far and wide beyond the sermon. That means the Trinity is not a doctrine for you to believe. The Trinity is not a doctrine for you to believe. The Trinity is a relationship for you to enter into. The Trinity is not an isolated, objective fact about a God that is somewhere else. The Trinity is an invitation to participate in the divine reality right here, right now, with you in this place and time. The Trinity is not intellectual assent to a set of propositions. The Trinity is a flow that you step into. The Eastern Church, where this icon comes from, talks about this as the perichoresis. Choresis is where we get the word choreography. Peri means around. It is to dance around. They say, oh, if you want to get the Trinity, if you want to get what God's up to, God is like this dance between three persons, and they're kind of moving together, and there's this give and this take of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and they're moving, and they're giving, and they're taking. It is the perichoresis. You are invited to join that dance. All of us are invited to be part of that divine flow, to step into it, to join it, okay? And it's not rocket science. It's the stuff that we all know. When you are generous, you're stepping into the flow. When you're stingy, you're not. You're stepping out. When you are forgiving, you step into the flow. When you seek revenge, you pop right out, right? When you, the reading from Amos that we didn't get this morning that you should read in the parish week, talks, the prophet pushes the people to care for the poor and stop exploiting them because of their poverty. When you care for the least in your society, and when you express solidarity with people on the margins, when you like move out to join them, you step right into the divine flow. When you ignore their needs, you pop out, right? And we know this. It's why when you're serving someone, you're like, it feels kind of good to do this, because you are tapping in that moment to the only and ultimate true reality that is God, that's happening right here, right now. You are part of the dance. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does everybody know what it feels like to be part of the dance sometimes? Does everybody know what it feels like to not? Now, the way Rublev gets at this, which is so cool, and many of you know this, is that he's got these three figures around the table, but you'll notice it's a four-sided table. Who's the fourth person at the table? You are. Us. Every time you engage this icon in prayer, you're not meant to look at it objectively like, oh, Trinity, I will meditate on the unity and the... No. You are to see it and think, oh my gosh, I just got invited to pull up a seat to this table and be part of this reality. In this present moment, the sacredness, the holiness of the right here and the right now, I get to be part of this. Whew, what does that mean? What does that require of me? And why wouldn't I? Oh, that's the good stuff. And so we step in and we drop in. Now, that is how Rublev invites us to do this. Now, here's where I'm going with this. When we have descriptions about what this God is up to in the world, and I have too many to share with you, but they sound something like this. You've heard some of these. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Did anyone see that? Maybe on a sign at a football game yesterday, right? I thought that was funny. I appreciate that, Anne, because it was. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. We heard about the Holy Spirit who gives life this morning, because the flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, says Jesus. Our universe, this reality, what's really real, okay, is a God that gives a son. And it's a son that gives his life. And it is a spirit that gives life and points back to the Father and this is not a good idea, and to the Son. I was going to try something new and it didn't work. At the center of the universe is a reality of interdependent giving. It's a God that gives, a Son who gives his life, the Spirit who gives life and produces truth over and over again. So when we give and share what we have, and I'm not just talking about money. We're going to get to money in the last week of this thing. But when we share everything we've got, change in our pocket to our time and our talents, we are tapping into and joining that great big generosity that is at the center of the universe. We are participating in something way bigger than ourselves. We are joining the dance. We are stepping into the divine flow. We are pulling up a seat at the table, which means if we don't come together and invite each other to share what we've got, we're keeping each other from participating in the only thing that will give us life, which is the flow of the Trinity. Come on! That is a solid excuse to ask you for money in 3 weeks. So, here's my invitation to you. Is there anything that you're up to right now that is keeping you from pulling up a seat to this table? Is there anything that you're up to that is bumping you out of the divine flow? Is there a resentment? Is there a sense of bitterness? Or what about like that low-grade critical cynicism that we carry around? And it just robs us of all our joy. And everyone's like, I don't want to hang out with them because they're just so, ooh, right? Is there anything that's keeping you from jumping in and stepping into this flow that you know is bumping you out over and over again? You're trying to surf the wave and you keep crashing. Is there anything that's bumping you out? And what I want to invite you to do is take this home and put it somewhere this fall that you're going to see it every day. Stick it on your refrigerator, bathroom mirror, I don't know, dashboard of your car. Wherever you are, laptop, you can make it small. I tried to make it kind of small so it could fit a lot of places, but you could shrink it down. Stick it somewhere, you're gonna see it every day so that when you run into it, it is a reminder to pull up a seat to this table and to join the life-giving, living God that says, there is a way to be in this world that is so full of joy and peace. That joy and peace is not connected to your circumstances. Market's up, market's down. Life is good, life is bad. There is hope and peace and serenity that you can totally have. Pull up a seat to the table. Just pull on up. This is the invitation to do that. That's how you pray with an icon. Stick it somewhere you're going to see it. And let us heed the invitation of Jesus and of God the Father and of the Holy Spirit that are sitting around this table and they're looking at you and saying, come on. So let's come home. Amen.